good to see everybody here tonight. Some people say they need this kind of sermon. Well, you haven't heard the sermon yet, but I can assure you, you're going to need it, and you'll appreciate what we have to say here. And so, anyway, the subject is fear controls us. See, as much as we might say it does not control us, the truth is that fear directs our actions and our thinking. And we can say, oh, no, you got to have your trust in God. And that's just showing a lack of trust in God if you have fear. And, well, no, not really. And we'll talk about that. And we had an interesting discussion on fear in class this morning. But anyway, we're going to see what we're talking about here. See, whether we will admit it or not, one of the strongest emotions controls us more than we realize. And you think, well, I got everything under control, and I'm supposed to control my fear, and you think I'm doing a good job. But, I mean, we realize it's a very strong emotion. I mean, many things we do every day are done by routine. And why do we do that? We don't want to change our routine. Why? Because something might go wrong. We're afraid something will go wrong. So we get on a routine, we stick with that routine. And we're afraid to make any changes to that routine. And things are so routine that we do not take the time to realize that fear guides them all. And yeah, I mean, honestly, it does. And so we even have the fear of changing our routine lest something unexpected happens to us. And so that's something we all have to face, we all deal with. And so that's why this lesson is going to be beneficial for us. See, if we are fortunate to have a job, fear motivates us in doing that job well. I mean, let's be honest. The fear of losing that job and the money or the benefits that come from that job causes us to be careful not to lose that job. In other words, we're going to do our work. We're going to try and do our work well so that we have value for the boss, value for the owner. And so we're going to have to do the best that we can, value for the company. And we all have a fear of making mistakes. And yes, we all make mistakes. We all do. Everybody does. And rather than complain about it or make a big noise about it, get over it. I mean, that's the best way of saying it. Just get over it. Everybody makes mistakes. But don't dwell on those mistakes. I mean, the best teacher is your last mistake. I mean, I heard this statement years ago, and I've used it several times, but your best teacher is your last mistake. I mean, when you realize you made a mistake, that's going to set your thinking in a different direction. And so it's going to be a very teaching moment when we make mistakes. It's like when Edison trying to find the right thing for the light bulb, he tried about 1,000 different things and none of them worked. They finally found the tungsten that did work, and they asked him about it. He says, well, I found 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. And that was it. You learn from your mistakes. I mean, that's what they call research. I mean, that's what research is all about. You learn from your mistakes, and you realize that didn't work. Well, let's go back to the drawing board and try something else. I mean, research and development. I mean, when they're designing cars, when they're designing any type of machinery, they get a prototype and see if it works. If it works, well, we'll try and sell that. And so, making mistakes, I mean, we learn from mistakes. And so, we realize that mistakes can be costly on the job, in the home, or on the playing field. And we know that's the case. And so, on the job, a mistake could cost you and the company time and money to correct the problem. And if the problem is bad enough, you could get terminated from that job. If you've done something to really cost the company, I mean, they're going to have to weigh out your good performance versus what you just did. And sometimes you might lose a job for that. And a mistake in the home can cause grief to others. And so that's true. We do something wrong at home, and it causes grief, and it causes stress, and things like that. And so that just simply may mean that you sleep on the couch tonight, or you could mean you seemingly try to walk on eggshells because you do not want to say the wrong thing to someone who may get very emotional. And we all know how to deal with that, don't we? See, a mistake in the marriage could cost you the marriage. Yeah, you can do things. And let's face it, if you make a mistake on the playing field, you and your teammates suffer loss of some sort. I mean, sometimes we hear of a pitcher making a mistake. What did he do? Well, he put the ball right over the plate, and guess what? Boom, out in the fences. And he made a mistake. And so if a player makes a mistake, it's called an error. And what it does is allow the opposing team to get an advantage, possibly to even score, and possibly go in the lead. If you're in the lead, they could go in the lead if you make that kind of mistake. This also results in giving an advantage to the opposition. So we don't want that to happen. And really, more than anything, we don't want to let our teammates down. So we try hard to avoid mistakes. See, spiritually speaking, we should fear making a mistake. And we should. And this has the greatest consequence of all, because the potential to lose our soul forever. I mean, that's the potential. If we make mistakes and don't get it corrected, we could lose our soul and spend an eternity in a place of darkness and torment. And so the fear of making a mistake is a good thing in this case. You know, say we talk about fear controls us, and we say, well, that's not very good. You need to have your trust in God. Well, that's true. But in this case, knowing that if we mess up, we could lose our soul. That's why we want to do right. And we want to be right in the sight of God. And so we need to learn what God wants us to do. But really, still, fear controls us more than anything else. And so we're going to look at it. It's an emotion that should be stronger and greater, but we do not. There is an emotion that should be stronger and greater than fear, but we do not act as if it is. That emotion, of course, is love. I mean, love, the foundation of the law. Love, what God is. And love is what we're taught to be to our fellow man. And so love is that emotion that causes us to serve God with a willing heart. And the reality of the matter is that if we are afraid of hell and eternal damnation, I mean, so we got to bounce out. Do we serve God because we love him, or do we serve God because we're afraid of what he might do to our soul? I mean, that's a balancing act we all have to mess with in our own minds. And so we need to look at that very carefully. See, many people obey the gospel because they were taught that they are lost and hell is a horrible place to spend eternity. And, okay, it makes sense. So we don't want to spend eternity in hell. So they obey the gospel. But our obedience to the gospel should be because we see the great love of God and Jesus had for us, and we're willing to make the sacrifice to help us get into heaven. If our only motivation is because I'm afraid of hell, then are we serving God with our whole heart? No, we are not. We're just trying to avoid a certain situation. And that's not good. We'll explain that. See, the Bible has the command to fear not, do not be afraid, do not fear, do not fret, and I'm sure that do not be anxious is included in this list. I mean, yeah, be anxious for nothing. I mean, as Philippians 4 and verse 5 says, so yeah, we're not supposed to be anxious. I mean, so all of these, basically it's all based on that concept of fear. I'm afraid what might happen. We might try and say, well, I'm not afraid, but I'm concerned. I mean, translation, it's the same thing. We're worried about what might happen. And so whether it is our own health, whether it is someone else's health, we're concerned about that. And we're afraid of what somebody might do if we're in a certain situation. And so, yes, but we're told not to fear. See, I read recently such a command is issued 365 times in the Bible. Guess what? That's enough for one do not fear each day of the year. See, the reason this command is issued so often should tell us that we need to learn to put our trust in God. And we have a lot of passages in the scriptures that tell us we should put our trust in God and not in other things. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. Trust in God, not put your trust in man. Trust in God and do not put your trust in princes or rulers or government or the politicians. I mean, how many people put their trust in politicians and then get disappointed? Because the politicians are not representing them like they want. And then when election time comes around, what do? They re-elect the same people. And then what are they going to start doing? They're going to start complaining all over again. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way they do things. See, Romans 8:1 teaches us there is now no condemnation in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are not condemned before God. If we are faithful in Christ, that's probably a key word we ought to put in there. If we are faithful in Christ, then there should be no condemnation for us. And we should not fear the eternal torment when we know if we are doing right in the sight of God and obeying His commandments as He has asked us to do, we should have that no fear of that eternal torment. And so we're taught as long as we serve God faithfully, we have a reservation in heaven. It's reserved for us. Peter kind of talked about that. A place reserved in heaven for you. And so we should go to church because we want to worship God and not because we're afraid of going to hell if we forsake the assembly. And let's face it, if that's your attitude, just afraid of going to hell if we forsake the assembly, then your heart's not in it. Your heart is not in the right place. So we should go to church because we want to serve God, because we love God, and we want to do what's right in the sight of God, not because someone told us, well, if you forsake the assembly, you'll end up in hell. I mean, so there's that, like I said, it's that balancing that we need to consider. And we should want to assemble with the saints. And because we want to be edified. I mean, hopefully that's the reason you came here. Not to fulfill a requirement of your attendance, but because you thought there would be something here that you could learn. And you came to listen so that you could learn and possibly apply these things to your life. And if nothing else, you have the opportunity to edify others. When you speak to others and give them words of encouragement, it edifies them and lifts them up. And just don't do it because we might lose our soul if we don't do it. I mean, that like I said, that demonstrates the attitude. The people who only do things because they're afraid of going to hell, guess what? That's where they're going to end up. I mean, they don't like to think of it that way. But if their only purpose in going to church is so that they don't go to hell, they're there for the wrong reason. And so, I mean, they're going to end up in the wrong place. All right, realize also that fear keeps us from sharing the gospel message with others. And I think we probably all can say amen to that. That's true. I mean, let's face it, we're afraid of rejection. We are afraid of the potential for persecution. And we're afraid that people will make fun of us and ridicule us and call us names and things like that. And so don't you see that fear motivates us to not do what God wants us to do? God wants us to share His message and to invite people to come to Him. And we're afraid, well, they're going to make fun of me. I don't want to endure that pain of the rejection. And they might beat me up or they won't be my friend anymore. Who needs friends like that? That's what I say. See, fear prevents us from letting our light shine. You know, too often, too many Christians, they just try and just blend in with the world. We're afraid that people will consider us peculiar or weird or strange. I mean, we talked about that this morning. And it just cannot handle any chance that someone will make fun of us and call us names. Yeah, you remember that? Remember on the playground, sticks and stones will break my bones, words will never hurt me? Well, believe me, words are a whole lot stronger and more powerful than the sticks and stones. I mean, so, yeah, we're afraid people will make fun of us and ridicule us. You mean you go to church? I mean, in some cases, when they say that, it's kind of because, well, you sure don't act like it. But then sometimes if they're trying to get on your case and on your nerves, they might use that against you. And so we just don't want to take that chance. So what do? We just want others to obey God and learn to reverentially fear Him. But our fear causes us to hold our tongue. So how are they going to learn? How are they going to learn the saving message of the gospel if we don't give it to them? Well, we want them to obey the gospel, and we'll pray to God, God, can you send somebody to help my neighbor to learn the gospel? Can you send somebody to help my coworker to learn the gospel? Can you send somebody to help my family member to learn the gospel? Do I need to say it? No, I don't. Okay. Fear causes us to blend into our society and culture because we're afraid not only of the ridicule and the persecution, we're afraid of losing friends. And, I mean, what I've said many times is, how do you know if they're a true friend? Do they care if you go to heaven or not? That's all. That's the only question you have to ask. If they don't care if you go to heaven or not, then they're really not a true friend. They might be there manipulating you or using you to get their advantage or whatever, but they're not really a friend. Because what happens if you decide, well, they're my friend, I want to see them go to heaven, and you start teaching them? Do you know what's going to happen? Some of us, we're afraid of what's going to happen, so we never bring it up. But sometimes, guess what? They're not going to want to hang around us anymore. I don't want to hang around that goody two-shoes or that holier-than-thou person, and they'll start maligning us and making fun of us. And so what do? Just blend in, just look like everybody else, and nobody's going to pick on you. That's the easy way. See, perhaps this is one fear that we should pay attention to about maybe losing friends. And you know, it'd probably be a good idea to get some of these, quote, friends out of our lives. Because maybe they are influencing us in the wrong direction. See, for many Christians who have Christian friends, that's a good thing to hold on to. As long as we are under the same principles of living, under the same guidelines of following God's word, under the same understanding having the same principles, the same goals, the same thoughts. I mean, that's what Paul wanted the Philippians to do. Be of the same mind. And so we got to have the same goals and same effort that we put forth. And we got to encourage each other to do that. And that's a good thing, to spend time with Christian friends, because you know you're all united in spirit. But if you're in a group that's half of them are devil worshipers and you're trying to be a Christian, how can you get along with them? Well, you can just remain quiet and act like they do, and then maybe someday it slip out, you go to church and they're gonna drop their jaw. What? You go to church? I mean, that's a good thing to have Christian friends. And really, all I can say is it is a blessing. It is a blessing beyond compare. And that many who do not have Christian friends, their closest friends, are not spiritually minded. And that's a problem. See, the Bible has warnings to not associate with non-Christians unless you are willing to teach them. See, here's the thing. You have these people you come in contact with. Okay, spend time with them so that you can teach them. I mean, let's face it. Fear prevents us from teaching them, and we usually end up allowing them to influence us to do things God is not pleased with. You know, there's this meme floating around on Facebook, you know, Jesus ate with sinners. And he ate with them not to give them approval for what they were doing, but he did so to teach them to change. And so that's what we need to be doing. And so we need to examine our fear and try to put our trust in God. And that's where it needs to be. And we just need to find whatever works for us to do that. But if all we're doing, we're going to church because we don't want to end up in hell, then folks, the reality is that's where you're going to end up. And it's hard to believe, but that is. Now, if we're here because we love God and we want to serve Him, then He's going to know it. And we don't have to convince anybody of anything different. And so, our whole life, we recognize fear controls us so often. And God says, don't let it happen. That's extremely hard to do, but it can be done. So think about those things. And so we're going to sing the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.